Good morning, Rock Church. How are we doing? Good. I'd like to welcome all the campuses, San Marcos, City Heights, El Cajon, Chula Vista, and Oahu. How many of y'all, anybody been to Oahu campus yet? Okay, all right, good. Well, for those of you who haven't met me, my name is Darren. I am the marriage and family pastor here at Rock Church, and it is a blessing, privilege, and honor to be one of your pastors. But today we're going to be continuing the conversation, as Pastor Ty shared, on we need to talk. And one of the topics that continue to come up is relationships, right? Whether you're in a relationship, whether you want to be in a relationship, whatever the case is those things keep coming up. And one of the reasons I believe that they keep coming up is because if you're wanting to date the right way, you can't go like to the book of dating chapter 2. Right? Like there's no specific things, right, that you can go to or marriage. However, there are principles that we can apply that can make sure that you do things the right way. Amen? So I want to pray for us and we're going to jump right on in. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the direction that you give us in every area of our lives. May you bless this time. May you speak clearly to the hearts and minds of each and every person here, Lord Jesus, and I pray that they would take one thing away to make them or to draw them closer to you. Lord, we love you and we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles to Romans 12. As you're getting there, Romans is an amazing book because Romans really, it encompasses the gospel all in one. And the first 11 chapters are more theological, but then chapter 12, he gets more into the practical. But if you've ever heard of Romans Road, right, where you lead somebody to Christ, right, it's all here. For example, right, Romans Road, right, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Not when we got it right, but while we were sinners, right? For we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And then what brings it all together is, and if you confess with your mouth, Romans 10, 9, and 10, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, right? So again, as I said, Romans, it packs it in, but today, we're going to be in one small part of Romans. We're going to be in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And again, the reason why is because people need direction. Because the deepest hurt, the deepest pain, I believe, comes from broken relationships. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we're gonna jump right on in. But before we even do that, I want to talk to you about some of the top mistakes that people make when they are looking for the right one. Number one, a fixer-upper is a challenge or a mission from God. How many of you ever had a fixer-upper? Y'all know what a fixer-upper is? Right? A fixer-upper, not a house, but a person. And they need some fixing. And you were supposed to be that person to fix them. And you heard from the Lord that you were supposed to fix them. Mm-mm. Let the Lord fix them, and you observe from a distance. Okay? Number two, people don't ask enough questions. You don't ask enough questions. I didn't know this. I didn't know. You didn't ask enough questions. Okay? Dating just for fun. Hey, we're just dating for fun. Whatever happens, happens. And it will happen. Intimacy runs past commitment, right? Because, you know, I mean, I know, you know, maybe not y'all, but some people, they meet somebody and they smell so good and they cute. And they dress nice, and they got all of the things. And you allow intimacy to run right past. There's no commitment. And the last one is doing it. If you know, you know. So, as we jump on in, is how to find the one. How to find the one. The first way to find the one is to become the one. Okay? I could close right there. Lord, thank you for today. I pray that we become the one. What does that mean, right? To become the one. Instead of finding the one, follow the one who makes you the one worth having. Right? All of the time and energy and effort, right, is, you know, we search in, we look in, we're on apps, and not to say nothing's wrong with the sites, and okay, don't send no terrible letters or nothing, but it's all as outward focus, right, as opposed to, hey, what about you, right? What's going on with that person, right? Ask yourself this question. Would you date you? Like, next time you walk by the mirror, stop at the mirror and be like, would I date you? Because there's things that there's wounds, there's hurt, there's pain, there's identity that we still need to know and understand in Christ. There's our family of origin stuff, of why we communicate the way we are and why we're short-tempered and why we'll say whatever's on our mind and why we cuss sometime and why we do all of this stuff and the two lies that we believe. But this is just how I am. How many ever heard that? Hey, this is just how I am. Accept me for me. Well, if you are surrendered to Christ, that's not who you're supposed to be. Okay? And the bigger lie is this. This is how God made me. Not the God I know. So in the process of becoming the one, it's process of finding the one, you have to make sure you become the one, right? Now, as a marriage and family pastor, I do a number of weddings, and weddings are awesome, right? How many of you love weddings? Okay, some of y'all, that's all right. Right, weddings are great. But the issue is, and what I've seen is because the wedding is a $1 billion industry, and it'll never stop. But what I see is all of the energy, time, effort goes into the wedding. And what is a wedding? What's the result of a wedding? A marriage. And very little time goes into the marriage, right? Before you get engaged, you should make sure that you go through pre-engagement counseling. We have a session here. It's 8 weeks. It's awesome. And it'll help you define some different things because if you're in the process of finding the one, your focus is in the wrong place. You have to make sure that you're right here. Have you, the forgiveness, right? All of those different things, because if you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to bleed on somebody else that didn't cut you. Right? So the focus, right, should be, or has to be, is making sure that you heal from your wounds. Make sure you understand that you are a masterpiece because Christ said you are. If somebody said, hey, do you think you all that? You ain't all that. Let them know. In Jesus, I am. When you become who God's called you to be, the right one won't distract you. They'll recognize you. Right? You'll just be walking by. You're just walking by, and they're just like, oh, yes. That's what you want. Okay? That's what you want. So, number two. Break up with worldly standards. Break up with worldly standards. Romans 1 and 2, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. This is completely different because typically a sacrifice, something had to be killed. But what the Word of God is saying, that you to be a living and holy sacrifice, meaning you are supposed to be alive, but still be a sacrifice, still reflect the light of Jesus, still point people to Jesus. And then it goes on, and it says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How many want to know God's good and pleasing and perfect will for your life? Right? We all want to know that. So how do you know that? Is you got to break up with the worldly standards. Because if you want godly relationships, you can't be led by worldly prompts. I was driving on the 52, and it's a work zone, and it says speed limit 55. I was like, okay, God. No, I didn't even say that. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to obey the law of the land. I'm going to drive 55 because that's what the sign says. And the sign says it, and I'm going to do it. And there I go. I slowed down, right? From 90. No, I wasn't going 90, right? I slowed down on 65, 60. Then I'm driving 55. I don't know if you've driven 55 in a long time. Right? They changed the law, I think, in like 1987. They moved it to 65. But I was driving 55, and I felt like I was doing something wrong. Like, I was uncomfortable. Like, people were telling me that I was number one, but I was like, that don't look like the right finger. That looks like a different finger you're pointing at. You're telling me you're number one. Like, why do you have it turned like that? But sometimes when you're doing things the right way, it seems like you're doing it wrong. It's because when you have the wrong standards. That's why the word says, don't copy the behavior and custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new thinking. The hookup culture. They're trying to make something that's in opposition of the Lord. They try like just smooth it out. That's what the enemy is good at. Right? He'll smooth out. You know, God said you will die. Hell, you won't die. Hey, if you do these things, it's going to mess you up. Now, you'll be fine. There's a reason why the Lord put these things in our life. It's because he wants to protect us. He has a good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. What are those standards that we're talking about? Because the hookup culture, all they do is they tell you, hey, it's fine to hook up. Just protect yourself. But what protects your heart? There's nothing to protect your heart. Right? What protects your mind? There's nothing to protect your mind. So we have to make sure we do things the right way. Here's what the world says. Fall in love in front of millions of people and hope you last through the final rose. Mm-hmm. Say I do to a stranger and hope science got it right. Could you imagine meeting your spouse at the altar? This is what the world is doing. The world is almost making a mockery of marriage. Why? It's because that is the only relationship that God compared his relationship with the church to. So if the enemy knows he can get marriage, he knows that he has multiple of people. So this is why it's important. But even in this process, of breaking up with worldly standards, it applies to married people as well because there are standards that the world has for married people as well. If it doesn't work out, it's fine. Just move on. Right? God will forgive you. Mm-mm. You figure out a way to work it out. Right? Resist temptation, win money, and maybe find love. Another one of those standards that the world has. But why is it such a big deal? And why do people always harp on, right, making sure that you don't do it? Why do y'all look so confused right now? Why is that important? Is it enough because God said it? Right, God said it. I believe it, that settles it. Y'all remember hearing that? Y'all believe that? No, it's wrong. God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not. So, why is it important not to do it? One of the things, it dulls your sensitivity to God and hearing his voice. Number two, it creates a distance between you and God. It gives you a false sense of closeness to that person. You mistake the L's and you end up taking an L. You know what the L's are? Huh? Love and lust. They're close, but they're so far away. You make long-term decisions from short-term pleasure. You reduce the chance of commitment. Why? Check this out. This is awesome. I love this. Why commit to the premium package when you got full access in the basic plan? I wonder why they not, they got all access. They got access on the free trial. No commitment. We have to make them commit. But these are all of the worldly standards. And again, we go back to the word of God. Right? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Okay, we have to let God transform you. What does that mean, to let God transform you? Because sometimes when we read the word, we just read over it and we just keep moving. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Travis, he gave an amazing message. If you would just implement one or two of those things, your whole dating life could change for the better. What is your expectation when you come here, when you come to church? My prayer is that it's not a box check. My prayer is, Lord, every time you walk in those doors, pray, Lord, I pray that you would, I would hear something today that would draw me closer to you or move me closer to who you want me to be. That should be our desire in here. So be transformed. Number three is be transformed in your thinking. Be transformed in your thinking. Sometimes what happens, as I said, we underestimate the power of words. Transform. What does transform mean? Inner change that affects outward life. Right? An inner change that affects your outward life. If your life doesn't look different outside these doors, people are not going to know who Jesus is. It's up to us. So your life needs to be transformed. And then the renewing of your mind, replacing old worldly patterns with godly ones. We have to replace these things because our minds have been warped. The way you transform your thinking is you feed your mind with prayer, scripture, worship, wise counsel, and truth. I'll say it again. Prayer, scripture, worship, wise counsel, and truth. You heard our pastor say we're starting a series on apologetics of understanding the word of God. How many of you want to know the word of God better? How many want a better understanding? Okay, amen. We all want it. What that means is that you have to put more in, read more. Don't come and say, well, they not going deep enough. They not giving me enough. You know who you need to talk to? Are you? Because you got one of these. You got access to everything. Everything the pastors have access to, you have access to. So you can't blame it on the church. You can't blame it on the pastor. They not going deep enough. You go deeper. Right? Because it's on us. So transformed in your thinking. What does that mean? It means that you know how to discern. You got to know how to discern. The English language. How many, any English teachers in here? That's okay. Don't you have to raise your hand. The English language is very interesting, especially when you're teaching or helping like a young person learn it, right? So sometimes I help my 9-year-old granddaughter, you know, in the English language. In the English language, there's just some things where she's like, Grandpa, why does that letter, like, why does it not have a sound? You know what? Serenity, I don't know. Grandpa doesn't know. You just got to know it. Right? Because, you got words that make one sound over here, but another sound over here, then it's I before E, except after C, but then if you have weird, that doesn't even matter, and it's just like. Then you have the words called homophones. Y'all know what those are? Words that sound the same, that are spelled the same, but have a different meaning. Right? Sometimes in dating, it's like that. Right? People that sound like they're a believer, they look like they're a believer. Something ain't right. Right? Like back in the day, we had a word, our word was dope. In my neighborhood growing up, you know what dope meant? An illegal substance. Now, it's a whole company. They dope gear, God is dope, this is dope. Dope means good, right? Dope is good now. What? How'd that happen? Fly. That's what birds and planes do. But now you see somebody, you're like, he's fly. But in a dating world, you have to be able to discern these things. You have to know what questions to ask. What question do you ask to determine if somebody is in line, if somebody deserves a part of your heart? You have to know these things, right? Again, you start with this person, becoming the one. Don't just spend all your time finding the one. You become the one. You grow in wisdom, right? You begin to change, right? Change your thinking, right? Be transformed in your thinking. Break up with the worldly standards. But you got to know what questions to ask. Hey, are you a Christian? Let me give you some red flags, okay? All ladies in the house, say hey. Ladies always got that. It's like, is it like a special like text that only women get and they teach you how to say that? It's like, this is how you do it. Hey, are you a Christian? Red flag number one. My dad's a pastor. Hey, you're a Christian? Oh, I grew up in the church. What do you ask? Hey, let me hear your testimony. Hey, what is your, like, give me your life verse other than John 3:16. Hey, what is God speaking to you right now in your life? Hey, if, you know, I'm interested in you. Like, we're interested in each other. Like, what is your intention with my heart or for my heart? Like, this is right. This is your heart. You got to make sure. We got to make sure that you protect it. Right? You have to make sure you protect it. So here's some things as you renew your mind. If you're dating, instead of asking, does this person check all my boxes, ask, does this person reflect God's character and challenge me to grow closer to him? That's easy. Right? That's easy. Because it's okay to, if it's not lining up, out. Instead of asking, do they make me feel good all the time? Ask, do we handle conflict in a healthy, Christ-like way? Are they the one? Ask, hey, are we both becoming right the right kind of person for a godly marriage? If you're of age, I don't know another reason to be dating other than to be pursuing marriage. Now, I'm not saying you meet somebody, you gotta get married like the next day. But that should be your goal. That should be the desire. That should be that this person should know that we're not just playing around. Right, we're dating with a purpose. Okay, so again, just understanding those things. If you're married, right, because again, these things apply as well. Transform your thinking. The world has a different view for married people. Right, breaking up with worldly standards. Instead of asking, why doesn't my spouse make me happy? Ask, hey, how can I bring joy and strength to our marriage? Instead of asking, why don't they meet my expectations? Ask, hey, have I clearly and lovingly communicated my needs, and am I meeting theirs? Instead of asking, do I still feel in love? Ask, what intentional acts of love can I do today to deepen our connection? Number four, unfollow your heart. I know some of you are on social media, and if there's somebody that's on social media and they just put trash up, you don't have to read it, right? All you got to do is unfollow them. Well, what the world tells us is to follow your heart, right? How many ever heard that? Follow your heart. Follow your heart, right? Follow your heart. Anybody heard that over here? Follow your heart? Anybody follow your heart? People over here? Okay, follow your heart. Why should we not follow our heart? Because the word of God says in Jeremiah that the heart is most deceitful and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Who would want to follow that? Right? Who would want to follow that? Would anybody here want to follow their heart, knowing that that's the condition of your heart? Right? That's why what it is that we need a heart transplant. We need a new heart. Because the word also says to guard your heart, right? Guard your heart. Unfollow your heart. How do you do that? You surrender it. You protect it or guard it. And then you have to lead it. Proverbs 4 and 23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Right, there's so many scriptures about the heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, sometimes people get those mixed up, right? Because they think, well, why isn't he giving me the desires of my heart? Because you haven't delighted in the Lord. So how do you, one of the main things I see mistakes is that is people don't protect their heart. Now, I grew up in New York, in the Bronx, home of the Yankees, and the Knicks. Should I keep going or are we good? But I grew up in New York, and in New York, I grew up in the projects, and we had a metal door, and it had one, two, three, at least three locks on it. And then it also had a deadbolt, a steel pole that connected into a groove on the door that fit into a hole in your floor. Protection. And then I come to San Diego. And you know, San Diego, we have the cute wooden doors. They're so cute. Right? They have windows in the door. You could just look in people's homes. I'm like, what are we doing out here? Right? In the stores, right? The stores were the same thing. Like when the store closes, they just, you know, walk over and they just close, they just lock their little door, just lock it. It should be safe. In New York, there's locks and then there's a metal gate that they pulled down. This surprise possesses your heart. The word says that it determines the course of your life. And what happens is we have a cute little lock on our hearts instead of a metal gate. Now, it doesn't mean that guarding your heart doesn't mean shutting it down. It just means filtering what enters it and leads it toward God. That's all that means. So we have to do a better job, as I said, of making sure that you are guarding your heart. Now, in a lot of cases, we hear that the ladies, you need to protect your heart from them dogs. Right? There we go. The dog pound. There we go. We're at the dog pound. Okay? But I believe that it's an even playing field. Because I feel like, guys, we need to protect our hearts, or not me, because I ain't in them streets, but y'all need to protect your hearts. Y'all need to protect your hearts as well. Right? And how do you protect your heart? It's first thing you surrender your heart to Jesus. Right? Because you want his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The word says, right? You want your body to be a living and holy sacrifice. So you give him your heart. And then you have to protect your heart. Okay? It's all about the filter. Okay? It's not about just where potentially you may meet somebody. It's all about the filter you have in place. There are dogs here in church. There are awesome people in church. There are dogs in the club. There are awesome people in the club. It's all about your filter. It's how are you filtering, right? How are you filtering through? So it has to be, right? It has to be equal. It has to be equal, because if it's not, then what happens is that you get yourself in a position and then you say, God, how could you let this happen to me? But did you ask the questions? And when you asked the questions and you got the information, did you process the information? Right? Because you have to ask the questions. You listen to the answers. You discern. You use wisdom. And you run when necessary. Because there's some people that they don't deserve access to your heart, but we've given it to them anyway. So as I wrap up, I want to encourage all of you who are, if you're looking for that one, scratch that and become the one. Do the work. Whatever cues that you've been following, if they're not of Jesus, even if it feels weird, even if it feels like you're driving 55 and everybody else is going 80, it's okay. Okay, it's okay. Get yourself circled. Get yourself around people who are going 55 as well. Transform your thinking, right? The word, that's what the word says. Changing the way you think, then you will know God's will for your life, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. When this changes, you'll know God's will. As I said in the beginning, there's nothing more painful than relationships that are broken. But God has given us the tools to protect our hearts. God has given us the tools to know how to have great relationships. God has given us the tools to have great and amazing marriages. It's all in. What are we going to do with what he's given us? So at this time, what I want to do is I want to pray. I want to pray for the people here, because some of you need to surrender your heart to Jesus. You've been living your life and you've been dabbling. Just, yeah, you can have this part, but I got this, Lord. No, you need to surrender your heart to Jesus so that he can give you the wisdom, so that he can show you his good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. Because I guarantee you, it's better than anything that you could think of. It's better than anything that you could imagine. So if you would, bow your heads as we pray.